Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chum, daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Begin on the fourth line down with the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the narrative from the previous daf, and that is there was an incident with Rav Mori Bar Rachel, who had asked the question of Rava, that although we generally say that when there's two pieces of meat salted together, we say that they're both busy at the same time spitting out their blood, and therefore each one's not going to be absorbing the other one's blood, and therefore it's okay if the vessel is perforated that the two pieces of meat are not going to become forbidden. In spite of that, Rava said that Rav Mari Bar Rachel, who had a kosher piece of meat being salted at the same time with a non-kosher meat in the perforated vessel, is actually going to be forbidden. Why? Because even though it's busy spitting out its blood, however, gravy and those juices which he brought from Abraisa from Hatzmeim are forbidden, just like the item itself, is going to be absorbed into that piece of meat at that same time, and therefore it's going to be forbidden. On this halacha, Mesvi, the Gemara asks on Rav from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Dag Tahar, Shemalachim Dag Tami. A kosher fish that's being salted together with a non-kosher fish, says the Braisa Mutter, it's permitted. The kosher fish does not become forbidden. Says the Gemara, my love shall yishnei meluchim. Isn't it talking about, seemingly as it's talking about, that both of them were being salted, and you could infer from that, not like Rava, that no, gravy is the same thing, the juice that come out from the fish or from the meat is the same thing as the blood, that since they're both busy spitting out, and they're both at the same speed because they're both fish, that it's not going to be absorbing, and therefore it's going to be permitted, which refutes Rava, who was stringent in the halachas of the tzira, of the juices, more than that of the blood. Says Gemara Loi, no, it's not difficult on Rava. This we're talking about that they with salting the fishes of together, the kosher fish was salty and the non-kosher fish was not salted. Oh, so therefore the non-kosher fish is not emitting and spitting out anything. But if both of them were salted, then the non-kosher fish would also be spitting out, then the kosher fish would be forbidden. And for sure, if the non-kosher was salted and the kosher was not, for sure then the kosher fish actually would be forbidden. However, the Gemara asks, but Vamniktani Seifa, but we learned that the Seifa of that Braisa, which the Gersa takes out the next two words and says, Hayitar Maliach Vitami Tafel. If the kosher was salted and the non kosher was not salted, so then the text says the word is mutter, it's going to be permitted over there. Now, Machlal, the Resha, so the inference is that the Resha is not that case, and rather Bishishne Maluchim Askin, that it's talking about when both of them are salted. Because the case you described is actually the case of the Seifa. So obviously when the Reish is talking about that they were salted together, is they're both salted and still you see it's permitted, which is not like Rava. So it's like, no, Perusha Kumafarish, it's actually one case. The Braisa in the Seifa is explaining the law of the Reish. Tarsha Molchim Dag Tami Mutter, if a kosher fish was salted with a non-kosher fish, the kosher fish is permitted. Kate said, how so? Qualifies the Braisa, Shaitar Malich Vitami Tafel. If the kosher one was salted and the non-kosher one was not salted, that's when it's permitted. But actually, if it was salted together, then actually the juices, like we said, would make it forbidden. This leniency of that, since it's busy spitting out, it's not absorbing, is only regarding blood and not regarding the juices. Says the Gemara Hachanam Mistabra, it's actually logical to say the way we're answering for Rabbah. Because the Isa Gita Techif, you would entertain to say, like the questioner had assumed, that Reisha Shnei Meluchim, that the first halach of the Braisa is when they're both salted. Well, Hashda Shnei Meluchim Shari, then if the opening law is telling us, even when both are salted, even the non kosher one is salted, still the kosher one is permitted. So then Tar Malich Vitami Tavim Abayah, then why does the Seva then have to continue and say, oh, if the kosher one is salted and non kosher one is not salted, that it's going to be kosher? Of course, the non kosher one is not even salted to emit anything to give the juices to the kosher fish. Says Gemara, Imishim Hala Aria. No, if that's your proof, then that's not clearly evident. Because Tana Seifa Leglui Reisha, you could say that the reason why the Seifa said that case was to reveal regarding the depth of the case of the Reisha. The Leitema, that you shouldn't say Reisha Tar Maliach Betami Tafel. And it's talking about that they're both salted. It's coming to tell you, don't say that the Reisha is only talking about when the kosher one is salted and the non-kosher one is not salted. But you would think then, okay, if both are salted, then it's going to be forbidden. That's why Tana Sefer, Tar Malich, V'tam Etavah, that's why the Sefer says that case of the kosher one salted and the non-kosher one not salted, that then it's mutter. Well, Machlav the Reisha, Shnei Meluchim, Afalach Rishari. Then the inference is, well, then the Reisha obviously must be talking about a different case. And then they must be talking about, even when they're both salted, even so it's mutter, maybe that's how you would be able to interpret the Reisha, and therefore it wouldn't be evident like Rava. Although, again, it's not a difficulty on them. But the Gemara continues, Tashma Misefa the Sefer. Let's bring a Raya from the end of the Sefer. Then the Braisa says, Avam Hayu Tamim Malich, but if the non-kosher one was salted, but Tahar Tafel, and the kosher one was not salted, then it's forbidden because then the juices that are coming out of the non-kosher fish is being absorbed in that kosher fish. Now the inference is, Tamim Aliyach Vitar Tafel Hu Da'asr. Only when the non-kosher one is salted and the kosher one is not salted, then it's forbidden because the kosher one is not doing anything. It's just going to be absorbing because it's not spitting out anything. Hashnei Maluchim Shari. But the inference is, if they're both salted, then it would be permitted because both of them are busy spitting out, which is not like Rava, who said that it will be forbidden even when it's spitting out. So the Gemara, no. I did the Tana Reisha. It's just keeping the uniformity of the Braisa. Since the Reisha said a case of Tar Maliach V'Tamei Tafel, which that we said is definitive that way, that only then will it be permitted when the kosher one is salted, but the non-kosher one is not salted. So Tana Nami Seifa, so in that same form, the Seifa said a case of when it's Aser, Tamei Maliach V'Tamei Tafel. When the non-kosher one is salted and the kosher one is not, then it's forbidden. But really, it would even be if both of them are salted, that then the kosher one would be forbidden, like Rabba said, because it will be absorbing the juices. It's more easily absorbed than by dam, which we said by dam, when it's busy spitting out, it's not taking it. Like Mark continues in these halachas regarding salting and regarding the transmission of forbidden taste. So the Gemara gives a seminal mnemonic for the three teachings of Shmuel. Bistro de manach, the meat that's placed, nafkusa goes out. So Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, first regarding the halacha of the meat, of basar, says, Ina basar yetzimi de damai ilam kein molcha yafa yafa. A meat does not have its blood removed unless it's salted very much, very well. Medicha yafa yafa, and it's also washed off very well. Now, regarding this halacha itma, we learned that Rav Huna Amar, he says, Meileach u'mediach, you have to salt it and wash it off. Now, b'mesnit u'tan, the Braisa was taught, Mediach u'meileach u'mediach, you have to wash it off, salt it, and then wash it off. The Gemara tells us, actually, Rav Huna is not disagreeing with the Braisa. Ha, this Rav Huna says you don't have to wash it first. It's the chalei b'tivcha, which the word chalei is the translation of washing, which the washing of the meat, you don't have to wash it because it was already washed in the butchering house. So it's already washed. All you got to do is salt and wash it. Ha, d'lechali b'tivcha. The Braisa says you have to wash, salt and wash. It's talking that it wasn't washed in the butchering house. Therefore then, yeah, you would first have to wash it, salt it, and then wash it. Now, Rav Dimi min Arda, malachli b'milcha galalinasa. Rav Dimi from Arda, he would salt it with this thick salt, u'menapitzli, and then he would go ahead and shake off the salt at a later time. And the reason for that is because the blood would have been already absorbed in those thick clumps of the thick salt. In contrast, by thin salt, then you don't have to shake it off because it gets dissolved by itself, by the washing. But in contrast, the coarse salt, the thick salt, it stays there, and therefore he would shake it off. Now, continuing these halachas of dam, in the basar, Amram Masharshia says, Eimach zikin dam bevnei ma'ayim. We don't assume blood in the intestines. I mean, there's no presumption of blood to make it forbidden in the intestines if it wasn't washed off. Now, Tirgama, they interpreted that this halacha applies to our karkasha, to the rectum, umayo, to the intestines, which is the keva, the keres, those different stomachs of the animal, and all the other intestines over there, and vahadra dekanta, which are these intestines that go around the fat of the kanta. But in contrast to the heart, or the lungs, or the liver, or the kanta itself, then there is blood over there, and that would have to be salted. Next halacha, Amar Shmuel, says, Eimanichin basta maliach ela gabi kli menukav. We don't put a salted piece of meat unless it's on a perforated vessel. Because if it's not perforated, then it's going to be sitting there in the blood that's coming out, and it's going to get absorbed in the piece of meat itself. Now, moreover, Rav Sheshes Malach Legarma Gamer, Rav Sheshes would salt each piece of meat separately. Now, the Gemara asks, Trei my time aloy, why didn't he salt two pieces of meat at the same time? Shum de parash mehai, ubalei hai. Because when it's going to come out of this piece of meat, it's going to get absorbed in that other one. So says the Gemara, Sachad Nami, then you should have the problem with one piece of meat too. Parash mehai gisa, balei hai gisa. When it's coming out of one side, it's going to get reabsorbed in the other side. Allah says the Gemara, loish no, there's no difference. It's permitted, as we explained the previous stuff, because as long as it's a perforated vessel, as long as it's busy spitting out, it's not absorbing. And when this one stops spitting out, this one also stops spitting out. And therefore, there's no problem with one piece of meat or even two pieces of meat. The next teaching, Amar Shmuel Mishum Rebchiyah, says, Hasheva mafraksa shal behema koidim shetetze nafshah. Someone breaks the neck of an animal before it's sold the parts. I mean, he slaughtered the animal, it's not a nevela, it's kosher. But then he breaks its neck before it just dies, it totally departs its soul. So hariza machberes abasa. Someone that does that is weighing down the meat, because at the time of when the animal is slaughtered, the animal is busy as it's dying spitting out its blood. When this person breaks the neck of the animal because of the pain that the animal is going through, it doesn't have the strength to moan and to spurt out its blood, and therefore it calms down, and the blood then gets absorbed into its limbs, and it weighs down the meat. It comes out, so he's stealing from people when he sells it by weight, because the blood is adding to the weight. And so instead of getting meat, they're getting blood over there. And it absorbs the blood into the limbs. Now, the following question regarding this teaching of Shmuel. Hechikama, what was he saying when he ended off the statement of Umavliya Dam, that he's having the blood being absorbed into the limbs? Was that all part of the same prohibition? In other words, and what he was saying was, Machbiris Abbasir, you're weighing down the meat, so comes out Vergoizla Zabriyas, you're stealing from people, Mishum Dumavliya Dam Bevarim, because the blood is getting absorbed into the limbs, and therefore that's what's weighing down the weight. Now, so it comes out that the idea about the blood being absorbed is just qualifying why that's considered stealing from people. Holiday day, but that would come out for the person himself, where there's no stealing from himself. So Shabbat dummy, that would be okay, that would be permitted, because he could then get subsequently that blood out by salting it. Maybe no, it's saying that even for himself it's prohibited, and actually his teaching was saying two different prohibitions. One, it's a problem because you're going to be stealing from people, and additionally, it's going to absorb the blood into the limbs, and it's not going to come out anymore, and you can end up eating the blood of the animal. Take a look at it, it's not clear, was he saying one iser, or was he saying two iser, that would be problematic even for the person himself. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the topic of our parak kol habasar regarding the iser basar b'chalav. If someone puts chicken, puts fowl, puts bird on the same table as cheese, so in the Oiva B'leisa say he has not violated a negative prohibition. Now, that obviously is not necessary because there's no biblical prohibition about putting on the table. Rather, it's the inference that it's necessary to infer, which sounds like, but if one eats chicken with milk, then he has violated the biblical commandment, which would be excluding from Rabbi Akiva, who says that actually in the next Mishnah, Prat Lo Eifes, that chicken, birds, they're not included in the biblical prohibition about Basa B'chalos. Now, the Gemara makes the inference, Ha'oichle, but sounds like, but if someone eats Oif with Givina, Oif B'leisa say, then he has violated the negative prohibition in the Torah of Basa B'chalos. So Shema Menu, you can infer from our Mishnah, Basa Oif B'chalos D'Raisa, that he holds, that we'll call it chicken, but all type of fowl, chicken and milk is biblical. Says the Gemara, Eimano, you could say what the Mishnah was saying was, if someone puts bird with cheese on the table, in a bole de loisase, he won't even come to a negative prohibition. In other words, don't be concerned that, oh, how could you put it on the table because he might come to eat and violate it, because even if he's going to eat it, he's not going to violate it, which that could be like Rabbi Akiva, that it's not a problem because it's not even going to come to a biblical commandment. But not that if one would eat it, it would be. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which qualifies the primary prohibition of what are the elements that are forbidden in this Isra of Basa B'chalav, of dairy with meat. Says the Mishnah, Basa Behemet Tahira, if it's the meat from a kosher animal, B'chalav Behemet Tahira, with the milk of a kosher animal, so then Asla Vashel, it's forbidden to cook them together, Basa B'anah, it's forbidden to have benefit from them, and of course forbidden to eat it, as well, but just the Mishnah is keeping the uniformity of the next case, where Basa Behemet Tahira, let's say it's meat from a kosher animal, but it's b'chalav behemet tameya, but it's the milk of a non-kosher animal, or the opposite. Basa behemet tameya, b'chalav behemet tahira. It's the meat of a non-kosher animal with the milk of a kosher animal. Says the Mishnah, here it's mutta levasal, umutta banah. Here it's permitted to cook them together and to have benefit from it, because there's no prohibition about basa b'chalav, as the Gemara is going to explain, in a non-kosher animal. Now, however, obviously the eating is forbidden because of you're eating a non-kosher milk or non-kosher animal. That's why it doesn't talk about permitted to eat. And that's why when it spoke about the first halacha, it didn't say forbidden to eat, but of course there would be asur in those three elements about eating, cooking, and having benefit. Now, Rabbi Akiva, he says, Chai v'oif einim min ha-Torah. He says, a wild animal and birds are not in the biblical prohibition about basa b'chalav. Shnema, like it says in the pasuk, Leisa v'asha gediba chalev ima. He says, don't cook a kid goat in its mother's milk. It says it gimel pam. It says it three times. That's prat l'chaya. One is excluding, why say three times? One's excluding a wild animal, and ula'if, and birds, ubeimet tmeya, and non-kosher animal. Where do we see that in l'savashal gedi? Because gedi is a kid goat, that excludes oif, which is not an animal. Gedi is a domesticated animal, that excludes chaya, which is not a behema. Now, although generally we say chaya b'chalal behema, but that's what the extra pasuk is coming to say. Why say another time the word gedi to exclude a chaya? And additionally, gedi is a kosher animal, and therefore it's excluding a behema tmeya. But regarding all other kosher animals that are not a gedi, for example, a cow or a sheep, that the Gemara will bring, we learn that from a pasuk that includes all kosher animals. Now, basically, I mean, he says, Nemet says in the pasuk, Devarim loisichl kol nevelu, not let eat any non-slaughtered kosher animal. Now, the Nemer says afterwards in that same pasuk itself, don't cook a kid in its mother's milk, which sounds like whatever has the prohibition of nevela will have the prohibition of a basa b'chalav. So therefore, esra asa mishum nevela, that which is prohibited because of nevela, asa lavashal b'chalav, that's going to be forbidden to cook with milk. But that which is not, like regarding other things that don't have this in nevela, then that's not going to have the isra basa b'chalav. Now, but regarding a bird that does have the prohibition of nevela, that if it's not properly slaughtered, so you would think that there would be the prohibition by cooking it in milk. Tamalaymer, there's a different source of excluding it from the halachas of basa b'chalav, because it says b'chalev imoy, don't cook the animal in its mother's milk. That excludes a bird that doesn't have mother's milk, and therefore that's not including the prohibition of basa b'chalav. Now the Gemara is minan milah, from where do we know this that we alluded to in the Mishnah, that all types of animals are, where it says basa behema, all types of animals are going to be in the prohibition about basa b'chalav. It says gedi, it says a kid goat, maybe it would include only that. So Amar Belazar, he says, because Amar Kra, the pasuk says in Bereishis, v'yishlach Yehuda es gedi izim. Yehuda sent with his friend to find the woman that he had been with to send the kid goats. Now, as Gatintam and Beis, the inference is Khan, over here, the pasuk is specifying that this gedi is a gedi izim, is a kid of goats. But when it says just unspecified gedi, if it doesn't specify, that would seem to include all other animals from the fact that elsewhere it had to specify. So that tells us of a lapara of a rachel b'mashma, that even cows and sheep, that they're also included in the terminology of gedi. But I asked the Gemara, why? V'leilef, let's learn that from a gezeirah shavah, minei, from over there. Just like over there, gedi meant gedi izim. Maybe also everywhere else in the Torah that says gedi, like by basa b'chalav, it means izim, it means goats. Says the Gemara, no, because k'siv k'rachrina, there's another pasuk in Bereishis that talks about when Rivka was dressing up Yaakov to get the brachas from Yitzchok, says that ve'es oiris gedi ha'izim, and that the skins of the kid goats she put on his hands and his face, that he's not recognized by Yitzchok. Now, the inference is, kan gedi ha'izim, here it specifies kid, that means goats. Ha'kamakam shnei gedi stam, but when it says gedi unspecified, like by basa b'chalav, afal apar v'rachal b'mashma, that would include all types of kosher animals. Says the Gemara, but why? But Leilef Menei, learn that from over there that it means specifically goats. Says the Gemara, no, habalu shnei kisum abam keechad. You have two psukim saying the same idea, that gedi means izim. V'chol shnei kisum abam keechad. When you have two psukim saying the same idea, you don't learn from there, because if you're learning, say it one time, we learn from there to everywhere. Why say two times? To say every time you want to say it, that's what you're specifying, but you wouldn't be able to learn out from there that it means specifically izim, and therefore it means every type of animal. Now, but that has to Gemara Harnich Lamanda Be'im Alam. That's only good according to the opinion, which is mentioned many times in Shas, that you can't learn out from two sources that say the same idea. Elamanda Malamda Me'iklamim, according to one that says you could learn out, even though it says two times the same idea, what are you going to say? Learn out the Gedi means specifically Ezen. Says the Gemara, but Tre Mi'utik Sibi. There's two exclusionary terminologies, because it doesn't say by them Ezen, it says Ha'ezen. But each one that says extra hay, saying the goat, there is a specific, this one, excluding other situations that regular gedi will not mean izim, and that's how we know that basa b'chalav applies not just to a gedi izim, but to all types of animals, including parah v'rachel. Now, continuing the theme of, as we find the drasha in our Mishnah regarding the extra terminology, similar to like we saw by Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah, so Amar Shmuel, he says that these psukim of Lo Yisavasha Gedi B'Chalev Imoy have superfluosity in them. There is what to expound in them, and therefore he expounds. Which Gemara later on is going to ask. There's only three times it says the pasuk, but Shmuel is actually going to expound it six times. Shmuel says, it says Gedi, L'Rabbis Esachelev, and these terminologies are extra. Why does it have to say it so many times? So when it says it's coming to include other things, the first one is L'Rabbis Esachelev, where if someone cooks the chaylev, which are the forbidden fats of an animal, which is part of the meat, the animal, with milk, and he eats it, he has violated not just the isra of chaylev, but also the isra of basa b'chalav. Additionally, when it says gedi, it's l'rabbis es hameisa, it's coming to include a dead animal. where if someone cooks the basar of a nevela with milk and he eats it, he has violated additionally the isra of basar b'chalav. Now, although in general the halacha is ein isra chalal isra, something that's already prohibited cannot take effect, a new prohibition, and here you already had the isra chalav and isra nevela before the isra basar b'chalav, that's where the pasuk is coming to include, when it says the extra time, the term gedi, it's coming to include these things, that here we will say isra chalal isra. Additionally, it says gedi, the kid goat, l'rabbis is a shlil, that's coming to include a fetus, that's also prohibited to cook in milk. Gedi, lohitzi asadam, when it says the kid goat, that's including blood, that's not prohibited to cook with milk. Gedi, lohitzi asashil, when it says kid goat, that's excluded the placenta, which is not considered part of the goat. And gedi, lohitzi asatmeya, when it says the kid goat, it's excluding a non-kosher animal, meaning non-kosher meat that was cooked, even with kosher milk, that's still not a gedi, and therefore that's not included in the isra of basa b'chalat. So that's expounding the extra psukim that it says gedi. Then it says, don't cook it b'chalei vima in its mother's milk. It says zero, so three times. So one is to tell you, v'loi b'chalei zachar, not in the milk of a male. Where if, let's say, the male animal had a little bit milk, that it developed nipples and it changed the reality, still that's not going to be the isra of basa b'chalav, because it's the mother's milk and not the father's milk. B'chalei vima v'loi b'chalei shchuta, it's mother's milk and not the milk of a slaughtered animal. Because when it says it's mother's, sounds like that which is fit to be a mother, that it's alive and not that it's slaughtered. So if it's slaughtered, that milk which you have from the slaughtered animal is not going to be forbidden as basa b'chalav. And finally, b'chalei vima v'loi b'chalei tmeya, it's mother's milk excludes, but not the milk of a non-kosher animal. Because by saying l'savash gedi, don't cook the kid goat in its mother's milk, that sounds like the only milk that's forbidden is from that type which the meat is prohibited. And we already said that gedi includes all kosher animals, but not a non-kosher animal. Therefore, that's comparing the milk to the gedi, because it says its mother's milk, comparing the meat to the milk. And as we said, we already excluded the non-kosher animal for the meat, and therefore we're excluding the non-kosher milk, even if it's cooked with kosher meat. Now, as we had already alluded to, the Gemara asked, "Hotlasi gedi ksivi." It only says the pasuk "Lisavash gedi b'chalei vima" three times in the Torah. So you could expand the word gedi three times. Vanan shita dershin, but Shmuel's expounding it six times. Says the Gemara, "No, there's actually only three drashas that he's making, although it says it six times." Ksav Shmuel, Shmuel holds first of all the isra chalal isra, that a pre-existing thing that's prohibited, another isra could take effect on it. Now, that's the text that we have, and Rashi said that he heard also that that's the text that should be. And the interpretation is that generally an isra could take effect on an isra, and therefore you don't need the pasuk to include chalev that's cooked with chalev, or the mace and the vela that's cooked with chalev, because the isra chalev and mace mechad kronavki, the prohibition of fat, forbidden fat with milk, or the dead animal with milk, you learn that from one pasuk. In other words, what that would mean is, from that pasuk which teaches us the essential halacha basa b'chalav, you already know chalev and mesa, where if you're going to cook them with milk, they're also included, because who cares that they're prohibited, but an isser is chala on an isser. But Rashi has a difficulty with the text that we have, because the Gemara later on Daf Kaf Tezayin Manav says that according to Rabbi Kiva, because he holds isser chalal isser, so then he has all the three psukim of gedi extra to expound it. And we say that, oh, chalev mesa, you don't need a pasuk to include them, because, of course, they're although they're already pre-existing isurim, but isur could be chal and isur. Now, the thing is, but you, if that's the case that we're saying in our Gemara, the Shmuel also holds that isur chal and isur. So the Gemara says, okay, chalev mesa, you learn that from one pasuk, but the Gemara is going to tell us that we don't have all three extra. It sounds like that one you need for the isra itself, and only two are extra. But if he's just like Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara makes it sound like that all three are extra, and why is it saying only two are extra? So the Rashi says actually not to have this text of that Shmuel holds generally that isra chalal isra. Rather, the text should be without that sentence, and it should just say that the chalev and the dead animal are learned from one pasuk, because actually, what the Gemara is coming to tell us is all three times it says the word gedi regarding the isra basa b'chalav, they're superfluous to expound them. Why? Because the pasuk could have just said, don't cook an animal in its mother's milk, which we would have understood. Any animal that has mother's milk, that it would be forbidden to cook with milk, because, like we said, we ultimately include from the terminology gedi that it's not just gedi, it's even a calf or a lamb, as the Gemara had previously said. So why is it saying the Torah the word gedi? So each time it says the word gedi, it's coming to expound it, and the Gemara is saying that one of the terminologies gedi is coming to include that of a chalev or mesa with milk. And that's what's telling us in this context that an Isser is going to be Chal al Isser. And we'll include both of them from that terminology of Gedi because they're both Gedi, they're both part of the animal, and which one are you going to exclude to say that that's not the one? If you're saying Isser Chal al Isser, so yeah, both of them that are previously Isserim could be Chal and take effect for the Isser Basar B'Chal. And that's actually how the Gemara tells us later on when the Gemara says that, oh, when the Gemara is going to have to resolve a difficulty and says, oh, here is different, where the Torah is including it from Gedi, obviously you see that Shmuel holds that in this context that Issachal al-Isser, he learns out from the terminology of Gedi, that that's what telling you over here, that Issachal al-Isser, but not that in generally holds Issachal al-Isser. And this is the Gemara asked later on, oh, does Shmuel hold Issachal al-Isser, what the difficulty is, because he's including in this context from the pasuk of Gedi, he's including Chelev and Meisah, obviously he holds over here Issachal al-Isser, so the Gemara asks from a different context, oh, you see, he doesn't hold Issachal al-Isser. But the Rashi is explaining how Gemara is taking out that line, not that he holds in general, but in this context you see from this drasha of the first time it says the word Gedi, that it's including even something that's pre-existing as an Isser, including Chelev or dead animal that's forbidden when it's cooked with milk. That's one pasuk. Second pasuk, before we get to the second pasuk, the Gemara is going to tell us that some of the other items which made it a total of six, like blood and the placenta, we don't need a pasuk to exclude it. And that wasn't from the pasuk itself. Because dam nami, blood also, lav gedihu, it's not a kid goat, and vishilyanami, the placenta, which is that sack that the fetus is in, perishab almahu, that's just waste matter itself, and why would I even think that it should be forbidden to have to exclude it? So those are not included. So pashlutre. So we're left with two more psukim because we only used one so far because we said that chelev and mesa are one pasuk. Dam and shilya don't need a pasuk. So you have two more psukim available to darsh from the word gedi. Chad lo rabbis is hashlo. One comes to include the fetus, that's also forbidden to cook in milk. V'chad the mutter b'yam tamei wants to exclude a non-kosher animal. That we said that that's not a gedi. A gedi is a kosher animal, excluding a non-kosher animal. Now, however, the Gemara asks, as we've been referencing this Gemara's question, the Sabbath Shmuel Issachal al-Isser, does Shmuel really hold that something that's already forbidden could take effect on something else that's forbidden? Where we're saying that he's including Chelev and Mesa, that they're already Usser because of an Avela or of Chelev, and yet they're going to now have a new Isser of Basal B'Chalav. But Vam Shmuel Mishum Reb Eliezer says, Minayin L'Koyin Tamei. For what do we know regarding a Koyin that's Tamei? Sha'achal Truma Temeya. So although a Koyin that's Tamei is forbidden to eat Truma, and is punishable by death, but how do we know that if he eats truma that's already tamei itself, sheina b'misa, that then he's not going to get death? Kashanem, the pasuk says, "Meyikro umesu bay ki chaluhu." He's going to die, and this is talking about this pasuk in the context of someone that's eating truma when he's physically tamei, because that's what the previous pasuk had been talking about. Ish ish mizer, it's talking about the children of Aaron, and it says that if he's going to eat the truma when he's tamei, he's going to die because he has desecrated it. Now, that's inferring prat lezu, that's including this case where the truma is shemuchalelas vaymedus. The truma is already desecrated because the truma is already tamei. In that context, he's not going to be chayiv misa. But one thing we see is that Shmuel holds, who's saying this halacha, that we don't say that the prohibition of tumas hagov when his body is tamei, which that's death at the hands of heaven, that it should take effect on the pre-existing iser of that the truma itself is tamei, where that is already prohibited for any kind, even the kind that's tar, because of what's called the Isser Aseh, a prohibition that's derived from a positive commandment. As the Gemara says, Nivam Estavai, Gimel Mabez, the Pasuk says, B'sherecha techlenu ha-tameh va-tar. It says, regarding a certain case, that in your gates you could eat it, the tameh and the tar together, which sounds like someone that's tameh, something that's tar and tameh could be eaten in one plate. Now, what that referring to, that Pasuk, so about the meat of karbanis that became invalidated after they were redeemed, that there is no Isser of tumah. Now it says teichlenu. That's where you could eat it tamei and tar together, but that's excluding a different situation because it's coming to tell you here's where I permitted someone that's tar to eat with the tamei. That even though he's eating basar that's tamei, that's permitted to eat in that situation of psula mikdashin, whether his body's tamei, whether the meat itself is tamei. But the exclusion is, but regarding truma, I did not permit for you to eat it when it itself is tamei. Where the truma is tamei, a kohen that's tar cannot eat it. Now, that's a negative prohibition that's inferred from a positive commandment, saying over here do this, but it's inferring somewhere else not to do that. That's Isser Aseh. Now, regarding, however, someone that eats truma when his body, when the kohen himself is tamei, that's explicitly a negative prohibition in the Torah that says, Bekachem, lo yichol, don't eat it, and it says after that, Uvah HaShemesh, v'tar, after sundown, then they can go ahead and eat it, which the Gemara in Yevamos and the Ayin Dalma base explains, talking about by truma. But one thing you see is that Shmuel holds that the Isser of Tumas HaGuf, which is Misa, will not take effect in the pre-existing Isser of the, only the Isser HaSei of when the Trum itself is Tamei. So that contradicts Shmuel's teaching over here that says that in the context where we're talking about by Basa B'chalav, the Isser will be Chal Isser. So, says the Gemara, Iba Yisim, if you want, you could say that Be'alma, that in general, that Shmuel holds, Isser Chal Isser. If according to some text that I did. But in general, he holds that the Isser could take effect on the pre-existing Isser. Now, so what's the halacha that we just quoted that he says that it will not take effect? Shani Hassan, there it's different because Demir Rahman or Mesu, by the Torah excludes, where it says he's going to die because of the truma that he's eating when he's Tameh, because he's desecrating it. But when it's already Mechul by Medis, because it's already Tameh, then it's not going to take effect because he's not being Mechalit. But generally, like in our context of Basa B'chal, we hold that Isser could be Chal Isser. Or if you want, you can say the opposite. In general, Shmuel holds no. Someone that's already Usr cannot take on a new Isser, like we found in this case regarding the Truma Tameya. But in our case, the Basa B'chalav is different because the Rabbi, Rahman Gedi, the Torah is explicitly including a pre existing Isser with the extra word Gedi, and therefore it's going to take effect. So you could say either one and say it's not a contradiction because one either has a Miyat or one has a Ribuy. Or Vibayisim, if you want, you can say a different answer that's not a contradiction in the teaching of Shmuel's because Ha the day. The first teaching in Bas B'chalav that we have was Shmuel's own teaching, where yeah, he holds Isser Chal Al Isser. Therefore, the Chalev and the Nevelo will be Asr subsequently with Bas B'chalav. Had the Rabbi, this teaching that we just quoted that will not take effect, was that of his teacher Reb Eliezer, who Shmuel had said that teaching in his name. Now, as Rashi clarifies, wherever it says in the name Mishum, this person, it's not that he heard it from his mouth, rather he heard it from others who were saying over in his name, because Shmuel never saw Reb Eliezer when he was alive. Because Reb Eliezer was at the time of the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, as the Gemara says in Gittin Daf Nun Manal, from the students of Yechim Zakai, and Shmuel was from later generations at the end of the Yezer Rebbe, and therefore, it's that he's saying over in the name of a teacher of Reb Eliezer, and therefore it's not difficulty, he doesn't necessarily hold like that. Now, the Gemara continues the teaching that we relate back to the teaching of Shmuel. He says, someone cooks meat in the milk of a goat which has not yet nursed, meaning the mother, the animal, has never yet given birth. But it has milk because when it's close to giving birth, it already starts lactating, it already starts having milk. So, Mao, what's the halacha? Would we infer to say that b'chalev imoy means to say that it has to be that it already was a mother, and only then is its milk going to be prohibited to cook with meat, or not? So Malais, they said to him, in the istrichel Shmuel lemeimer, b'chalev imoy b'vle b'chalev zachar, we mentioned before from the teaching of Shmuel, one of the exclusions was, it says b'chalev imoy three times, one of them is in its mother's milk, but not in its father's milk, in the male milk. So that inference is that Zachar hud l'asal chal aim. He was only excluding a male, which will never become a mother. Aval hai, kivin the boy l'chal aim, also here, since it will ultimately become a mother, even though it's not yet a mother, its milk will be in the prohibition of basa b'chal. That what we learned regarding one of the halachas that Shmuel had said, hamavashal chaylev b'chalav. Someone cooks forbidden fats of an animal, which is part of the meat, with milk. What's the halacha? So it's machlik is Rabami Barabasi. Chadam aloika. One says that he gets lashes, which the assumption of the Gemara right now is regarding eating that. And they had warned him that, although it's prohibited because of chaylev anyway, but they warned him that you're going to get basa b'chalav, so that he'll get lashes because of basa b'chalav. But chadam ain aloika. The other one says, you didn't warn him regarding the forbidden fads. Regarding basa b'chalav, that is not going to get lashes. Says the Gemara, lame alchemifically. Let's say they're disagreeing about the following point. Demand him aloika, according to the one that says he gets lashes, ksave isachalis, like we mentioned this idea before. He holds something that's already prohibited because of chaylev, but the isabas b'chalav could take effect on that, and therefore, if that's what you want him for, he'll get lashes for that. Demand him aloika, the one that says you don't get lashes, ksave ain isachalis. He holds that no, something that's already forbidden cannot take on a new iser, and as Rashi clarifies, meaning to say, so therefore, you cannot learn it out from the essential pasig of the iser bas b'chalav. We had said before that's included in the pasuk itself of basa b'chalav. He can't because the iser basa b'chalav is only something that was not forbidden before. To take on a new iser, it cannot. Rather, the pasuk is that's extra is coming to tell us where you could say that the one of them is telling you the iser itself of basa b'chalav. The second one's coming to include a fetus, where that makes sense because that's only one iser. There's no iser to eat the fetus, so it's not a pre-existing iser. And the third one is coming to exclude the placenta, the shilya, where obviously that would mean that he doesn't hold like Shmuel, that it's just a pirsha ba'alma, that's just something that's not meat at all, and therefore this interpretation held that you would have to exclude it, and therefore that takes care of the three, because in contrast to exclude blood or a non-kosher animal, he holds that that would not be necessary, because since the isser is not chal on isser, why would you think it's forbidden to have to exclude it? Both tameya and dam are already intrinsically forbidden, and they already have a pre-existing isser. So therefore, he's saying that ein esachal lister, and therefore chaylev is not going to be aser b'osam b'chov. It's already aser from beforehand, and therefore the three psukim are teaching the halacha itself, and including the shlil and excluding the shliyah. Says Gemara, not necessarily. The kuli alma ein esachal lister. We can really say that everyone holds something that's already aser cannot take on a new aser. And achila de kulam alay pligi de lay lucky. Right, regarding consumption, everyone agrees that you're not going to get lashes of a b'osam b'chov when you went and cooked fats. The forbidden fats with milk, because it's already aser v'chelev, it cannot have a new iser of basim v'chalev. Ki pligi abishal, their whole dispute was regarding cooking. Because chelev and other isurim, they were never aser to cook, it's only meat and milk that's forbidden to cook. So therefore, mandam aloika, the one that says you get lashes, schad isuru. There's only one iser over here. Because regarding cooking, there's no iser here of the fats, it's only an iser of basim v'chalev. So you will get the iser of basim v'chalev, no iser chalas, it's just the iser of basim v'chalev. But Amanda may not look at the one that says you won't get lashes, even for cooking, is lahachi afkar achmona lachila b'lashem bishlam. That's why the Torah, it says the pasuk leisavashak debuch leivimoy, which we say one's including eating and the other one's cooking, the other one is benefit, but it used the terminology of cooking, leisavashal. Why? As we continue to talk about kof yudalam and alf, kiven the alachila leilaki, it's telling you since that for consumption you don't get lashes because of inesachal alissa, sab bishal namay leilaki, therefore for cooking also, and that's why you use the terminology of eating, you also won't get lashes even though there's only one isser of basa b'chalav. That's one version. Pigatami, those that say, no, abishal kuliamale pligi deilaki. Regarding cooking, no one's going to disagree that you're going to get lashes because there's no isachal alissa, there's only the isser of cooking basa b'chalav, and therefore you'll get lashes. Ki pligi achila, their dispute is regarding eating. Why? Manda me'ina, look at the one says you don't get lashes, it's because the ha'in is chalis, like we said, it's already aser because of chaylev, it cannot go ahead and now take on a new iser basa b'chalav. But manda me'leika, the one says you will get lashes, is lahochi afkarachman lachila b'lashem bishal. That's why the Torah says the iser of eating in the terminology of cooking, to tell you, kiven da bishal laki, since like this chaylev and chalav, you will get lashes for cooking, because there's only one iser of basa b'chalav of cooking, achila nami laki, therefore although generally it's iser chalisa, here you also get lashes for the eating. Or v'yibayisim, if you want, you could say that actually mara machada or mara machada, that each one of these opinions, one said lashes, one said you don't get lashes, we're actually going on different things. The one that was saying you get lashes, we're going on cooking, because that's only one iser. The one that was saying you don't get lashes, was going on eating. Where if, let's say, you don't warn them because of the problem about eating chaylev, but rather you only warn them regarding basa b'chalav, he says you're not going to get lashes because the isra of basa b'chalav cannot take effect in the pre-existing isra of chaylev, and therefore they weren't disagreeing at all.